Welcome to Energy Talks, a regular podcast series with expert discussions on topics related to power system testing, data management, and cybersecurity in the power industry. My name is Scott Williams from the podcast team at Omicron, and I will be your host. Hello, everyone. In this episode, I am joined by my guests Andreas Nenning and Fred Steinhauser. Both are Omicron product managers who are actively involved with international engineering associations in the power industry. Andreas and Fred will give us an overview of the various engineering associations, their functions, and their impact on the power industry. Most importantly, they will talk about how their direct involvement with these associations has helped them to work with industry peers in addressing trends and future end-user requirements, and how it has been an essential aspect of product development at Omicron. Hello, Andreas. Hello, Fred. Welcome to this episode of Energy Talks.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Scott, for having me.
Thank you both for taking the time to offer your insights into the work with international engineering associations. May I ask each of you, please, to introduce yourself. What is your professional background, and how have you been involved with engineering associations in your job? Fred, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, my name is Fred Steinhauser. I'm working for Omicron since 1998. In the beginning, I was working on power system protection testing, but then something happened in 2001 when Omicron hosted the meeting of the standardization groups of TCIC, TC57. At that time, the working groups 10, 11, and 12, which were working on IEC 61850. And while these working groups were having their meetings at Omicron and we were allowed to join as guests, I was called into the office of the CEO. And he said, "Listen, Fred, I think there is something going on and we should be part of it. Maybe you should join the group and be part of the 61850 standardization and make something out of it." And so this started for me. The 61850 standard is now the most important standard for communication in digital substations. It has been kicked off in the past millennium already. Around 2005, we had the first parts published to make products with it, and it has now become an essential factor in the product portfolio of Omicron because we have several products which are dedicated to this kind of communication.
Very good. Well, thank you for that. Andreas, could you tell us about your background?
Yeah, sure. My career started around 30 years ago as an electrician at the local utility, power utility here. Then I went to University of Applied Science in Dornbirn and studied automation and mechatronics. Later on, I worked several years abroad as a project leader and then returned back to Austria for a company who does control system for wind turbines. And there I got in contact with Omicron. And then, yeah, since more than 10 years now, I am as a product manager at Omicron, responsible for switchgear test devices.
What are the different engineering associations in the power industry?
I think Fred already mentioned, right, IEC 61850. I think that's quite one of the most important one. But I personally am involved in SIGRE and IEEE. Also, at least as important there.
Yeah, yes, I would have mentioned IEEE as well. So SIGRE is not so much a standardization organization.
Yeah.
It's more, I would call it a think tank, which should give some inputs that will be then implemented in standards by the other organizations.
Interesting. So they do brainstorming, they look at trends, and they pick up on important points that the industry should be looking at. Is that correct?
Yeah, they have working groups working on different topics, and then they publish brochures about it or reports, and they have meetings, conferences, where those topics and ideas are discussed. But not at SIGRE, there are no standards coming out of that, but a lot of important thoughts about future technologies. What are the problems, how to solve them, and very important topics.
Why do these associations exist, and what does each contribute to the power industry?
Yeah, let's go particularly to the International Electrotechnical Commission, the IEC. I think the name makes it obvious what they are after. They want to standardize things about everything electrical. And of course, there is an idea behind to foster the technical development, because if everybody does what he just has in mind, we will get a world of products that don't fit together and don't, let's say, satisfy certain standards that we now almost regard as a given, also in terms of safety and something like that. So they have the intention to do something for the good of everybody by giving rules and guidelines how things should be done.
And I think it also accelerates in the end, right? It accelerates the developments if it's standardized. So instead of everybody does its own thing, it's more efficient to have it standardized, in particular on a worldwide level, yeah?
Yeah, IEEE has just the same idea. The IEEE is also dedicated to electrical and electronic engineering. And in some parts, we see even parallel standards that could be also sometimes competing standards. And so it's often important to have some joint work to clean this landscape up and not create competition.
How much do these associations really influence or impact the power industry?
I mean, first of all, the standardization Fred mentioned, right? By standardizing, yeah, you're accelerating trends and you make them affordable in the end also for the users. It makes it cheaper for the development. It's a bigger market. It's standardized. It's available worldwide. So that is the standardization aspect of it. But there are more than that, right, Fred? I mean, there's way more than that. Just the ideas who are coming out. It's very important to have those people coming together and talking to each other.
Yeah, they have a huge impact on our industry, because whenever you approach a topic, your first question is, what have these organizations already put in place in this field of expertise? Are there already standards we can use as an orientation or a guideline? And were there publications? Of course, there is a lot of material published around this. So it's always, let's say, the first place to go to find something to hold on before going further.
Yeah, it's this educational aspect there as well, right? When I got to Omicron and it was relatively new to the industry, that was also my source for information. So on SIGRAIL, you got access to important papers and, yeah, publications there.
Yeah, and finally, when you have joined this community, you get access to the people.
Exactly.
And, I mentioned this in other places, that being part of this network can be priceless at some times, because you simply learn things before they are written down on paper.
Exactly. And even if you're new at the market, you can participate, then you might not share your knowledge, which is not that, but you can still support, you can have other tasks doing surveys or whatever. And of course, the experienced people are also welcome. They share their experience and their estimations and gut feeling about trends and things like that.
Very good. So how is Omicron actively involved in each of these organizations?
Yeah, we have several colleagues, actually. Right. I personally involved in IEEE, leading a task force for creating a report about aging switchgear. We do a survey, we see what's the status quo and where the people are and what are the trends and, yeah, some suggestions for how to continue. And then on the SIGRAIL, I'm involved in a working group about tools for lifecycle management of transmission and distribution switchgear based on data on condition monitoring. So those are topics I'm personally involved.
Yeah, Omicron in general has a very open attitude to this. So we are also, as a company, a SIGRAIL member. The IEC membership has been, let's say, requested through the company to take me as an expert in these groups. So Omicron is dedicated to have people in these circles to be connected to what is going on. And it's a kind of a philosophy and, yeah, an open mind towards these topics.
Why is it important for Omicron to maintain this involvement?
I mean, for my role here at Omicron as a product manager, I think personally, of course, I gained the knowledge, I gained contacts and access to very important information. But as my role as product manager, I'm always looking for new products, new feature of products, where you go. Being in those communities, being in those groups, that helps me to understand the pain points. Where are the pain points for the people there? What keeps them from doing the job? What are the challenges there? And just, yeah, to know that and having access to people who are telling me what's going on and what's needed, what's really needed, right? That helps me in my role as product manager to define the proper products, to be innovative, to bring something which solves the issues of the people and actually helps the industry. You have to know those people, you need to know what's going on in the market. And therefore, I think I personally, but also Omicron, benefits from participating in those groups there.
Yeah, I can just agree. And when you look at certain products that we have, they also state clearly in the brochures, we do measurements and create results according to that and that standard. You could not market a product which does not comply in that sense. You will never succeed by saying, yeah, we do some measurements, but we thought it out by ourselves how we would calculate that. This would not be recognized. So in this regard, it is a must to know the standards and implement the according methods which are described there. And when I look at my key topic, 61850, it opened the market for us by creating products that support this standard. We built a complete new business field within Omicron, which was not there before the standard was there.
Andreas, do you have anything to add?
When I have a specific example on the SwitchKit test device, I learned in those groups when I talked to people how painful it could be to test timing on a GIS if that both sets grounded. I wasn't aware of the problems, but yeah, talking to the people, they explained me how painful it is to disconnect the grounding. Took them a day to do that job, do the timing test, put everything back, test the grounding again. So it's 2-3 days job to do timing tests. If you talk to them, you understand the pain behind that. It's a specific, very specific actually test scenario, both sets grounded GIS and how to do timing tests. But that triggers to think about how can we solve that. And then yeah, we came up with a good solution which makes it very easy and very straightforward to do the tests, and then you can do it in no time. And yes, just because to know the pain and to know what keeps the people from doing their jobs efficiently. So that's just a very specific example for my part.
When you get together with these organizations, you meet in work groups and teams. Do you have situations where competitive companies are represented in these teams, where you're working together with them?
That's maybe a very interesting point, because we do not only have occasionally this situation, because the standardization is very much driven by vendors. It's the standard situation that there are people from companies which are otherwise competing on the market are working together. But we have found a way of behaving that makes this a productive environment. And also, we would compete on the market. We have a common goal to have products which can be marketed. And this is very much coming out of the standard. So it's mostly positive. Very often, you also have to deal with the fact that some vendors want to, let's say, make their product a little bit more compliant to a standard and influencing the standard in this sense. But we have found a way to handle that.
On the IEEE meetings, they have this disclaimer beginning of every meeting saying, okay, we are here as the persons, not presenting the yourself, not the company, first of all. And then you're not talking about prices, you're not, you know, the regular stuff. There's always a reminder. And if you hear something about that, you know, you reported this and there. So it's a clear set of rules how to deal with each other to avoid any misbehavior there.
So as you say, you're really there to find out what the customer needs, what the end user needs, and not necessarily what is the competitor doing.
Yeah, not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, but finding out what the end user would need is actually a big part of the work. And we are suffering from the fact that the end users are not properly represented in the standardization groups. They just save this effort and let the vendors do. And the vendors often have to guess and do their best to guess what the customers would need. I think generally we do a good job in this regard, but we would really often wish that the end users would be more represented so that they can answer those questions firsthand.
How else do you go about getting end user feedback?
I mean, the example we just did in the IEEE, we did the survey. So we tried to collect them and send out questionnaires. But in the end, I think not every company, particularly the smaller ones, are not aware of the benefits. So we really have to promote. That's why we do the podcast, right? So telling them, definitely, hey, there's a benefit. Yeah. You should participate. It's good. It's going to paying back for your company as well. So big benefit there.
The utilities don't give the same value to the standardization. It's maybe unfair to say it so generally as I just did, because there are certain utilities who actually have people in these standardization groups, but there are too few of them. Okay. And on the other hand, it's something that we can bring in. Andreas and I, we are both product managers, and the task of a product manager is to listen to the customer and to make the right conclusions what his actual desire is, even if he's not able to express it. And this is what we then bring back to the standardization.
When you're doing your work with the associations and a particular project or standard, do you actually take a look at what the other associations are publishing about that particular topic?
Now, that's very much depending on the people involved. I'm not aware of a big master plan that says avoidance of parallel standards. I don't know that. But sometimes we see that happening when involved people take the initiative and say, we should do something joint. And I think a very extreme example was in the early phase of IEC 61850, where we had this UCA initiative to create something very similar on the US side. This was even an earlier initiative than IEC 61850, and they even published something and put something in place, and we once even had an Omicron product supporting this in the early 2000s. But then the people found out, hey, we are doing just the same with IEC 61850 or something very similar, and it does not help to do the same thing two times. And there were actually a couple of people in the US who still deserve the credits for that and were not properly mentioned, I think, until now, who convinced their peers to stop working on this UCA thing and put all the efforts into IEC 61850. And I think this was a very, very great thing, and we need to be thankful for that.
How do these standards organizations make sure that they maintain an international point of view?
Yeah, in general, when new working groups are formed, everybody is welcome to participate. And of course, it depends where they're coming from, and there's no active selection or something. I mean, they're coming where they're coming from, but you try to reach out to everybody and you try to get as many regions involved. For instance, when we did this task force about aging switchgear, we even made a LinkedIn post making the people aware there is something. So who wants to join? Who is the expert? And when you see where they're coming from, and ideally you got all the continents, you got all the different user groups involved. And that's what you're aiming for. Of course, there's no guarantee, but everybody's invited to get involved and join.
Okay, yeah. So the standards that are created are international standards then?
IEC. The first letter is international. And when a new work item proposal goes out, there is typically then later on when the work item as such is accepted, a call for experts. And then you wait for people from all over the world to volunteer to be an expert for the standardization group. And on the other hand, just this week, I received a notification that a certain initiative was canceled because there were not enough experts joining the group. And by the rules, it was said this is not sufficient. If we don't have enough participation, we won't do it.
Do you have any final comments or recommendations about professional engagement in engineering associations?
I mean, we can just motivate the people to join and going to the website and checking out what call for experts are actually going on. And even though you don't even have to be an expert, right? I mean, even as a beginner, you can still join and contribute on a different level. There's always other tasks as well. And then you can learn and become an expert by just continuing and serving and participating.
Yeah, I think, Andreas, you just gave a keyword, continuing. I think as being very long in this role, I think it's also our task to find other people in the company which will continue this work in the future and then encourage them and so spread the word of mouth about the value of standardization so that we will still play an active and a positive role in this game.
Again, what benefits do organizations in the power industry gain from being involved with these associations?
Maybe to bring another aspect in, for smaller companies, it's also quite nice to present yourself in the industry. Because what triggers that thought is that when I started, I was in a group, our company, Omicron, was not so well known. And usually it works like that, that each participant in the group invites the group to his company. So that's way they walk around. And when I got my part and say, okay, who wants to come to Omicron? I invite everybody. I got a lot of people saying, ooh, who is Omicron? It was before the pandemic, of course. So Omicron was a really unknown name. And after the meeting, it was nice to see that everybody, happy face, and say, oh, everybody knows Omicron, and even got feedbacks when the people get back in their companies saying, well, now I all of a sudden see your test devices staying around because they became aware of us, right? So just as a smaller company, we want to be more present in the industry and want to raise the awareness. It's a good opportunity to show that and see that where you are and present and what you're doing actually.
I can double that. Yeah. So also with 61850, we became known because we were one of the first one to really serve the upcoming needs which were connected to this standard. And for very well established companies, it is important to maintain your technical coverage of these standards. But for newcomers, it's a great chance to be the first in an uncharted area and gain some significance that would be very hard with so-called Me Too product in a field which is very well occupied already by big players.
Well, Andreas and Fred, thank you very much for joining me for this discussion about the benefits you have experienced in your work with international engineering associations in the power industry.
It was a pleasure being here.
Yeah, thank you for having us and presenting these interesting questions to us.
Well, I certainly appreciate your insights. Thank you both again. And a big thank you to our audience for listening to this episode of Energy Talks. We always welcome your questions and feedback. Simply send us an email to podcast@omicronenergy.com. Omicron has several years of experience in power system testing, data management, and cybersecurity in the power industry, and offers you the matching solution for your application. For more information, be sure to visit our website at omicronenergy.com. Please join us to listen to the next episode of Energy Talks. Goodbye for now, everyone.